Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, we're about to enter the last month of the year. It's a great time to begin thinking about the future. Will next year be a breakout year for me? Will I break out from the same old thoughts and patterns of behavior that have been holding me back for so long? Will I break new ground on my career, strengthen existing relationships, or initiate new ones? Will my next guest, physicist, science writer, and novelist Ransom Stevens, Ph.D., is here to help us unlock the keys to innovation and discovery and to explain in lay terms how our brains work and how we can use them to get our creative juices flowing. And Ransom Stevens, Ph.D., has written hundreds of articles and given thousands of speeches on subjects ranging from neuroscience to quantum physics to parenting teenagers. He's a former college physics professor who spent 15 years conducting cutting-edge research, and he's moved to a high-tech wireless startup and is now a Silicon Valley consultant, and he's authored two novels plus the brand-new science book we'll talk about today, The Left Brain Speaks, The Right Brain Laughs, A Look at the Neuroscience of Innovation in Art, Science, and Life. And oh, by the way, Dr. Stevens is a beer-drinking, cussing Raiders fan. And hello, Ransom, we're indeed honored to have you with us today. And so sorry that now, after several years of frustration, your Raiders finally are good, and now they're talking about moving to Las Vegas.
They're always talking about moving somewhere, and we go with them because we hate ourselves.
It was L.A. last year, as I recall.
Yeah. I went to a bunch of games in L.A. too.
Something
about these addictions and crazy loyalties.
Yeah. Well, here's a question relevant to those of us at middle age. Why are we more equipped to let our creative juices flow when we're children, even when we're young adults, than we are at middle age? And why do we become so stuck in the thought patterns and behaviors and that aren't really in our best interest?
Well, I think it's the burden of experience. You know, when you're young and you're not burdened with experience and you're free to make really dumb decisions, which, let's face it, is the most effective way to get experience and learn how to make good decisions. Before that, you know, we're open to anything.
Yeah.
But as we develop expertise through experience, you know, experience, expertise are very similar words.
Yeah.
We get good at things. And when we get good at things, we start to understand how things work and we develop patterns. We identify patterns.
Yeah.
And what that does, the upside, of course, is that we get good at things, that we can make quick decisions, that we can be brilliant in our careers. The downside is that we also tend to overlook ideas that don't make us comfortable, that don't fit within the parameters of our expertise.
Yeah.
And some of those ideas aren't as bad as they might seem.
No.
So that's part of it.
Yeah.
That's a lot of it. The other part of it, I mean, that's something we can work on. That's something we can actually approach and change.
Yeah.
Another aspect of it that we have less ability to affect is that children, especially infants, from 0 to about 3, they have a lot more connections in their brain. They just have wild, wild, crazy, random connections of axons around their brain that connect different things. And as they get more experience, in other words, an infant just plunging into the world really can't distinguish the senses. They process light and sound and scent and taste and vision all over the map. And as they encounter the world, you know, from touching it and seeing it and smelling it and what have you, their brains literally clip away those extra connections that aren't doing them any good.
Yeah.
So there's actually a physical process in little tiny kids that develops a sort of physical expertise. And then, you know, as we get older, we replicate that in a more abstract sense when we develop, you know, habits that are really helpful, things that make us good at our jobs, but also tend to make us overlook ideas that we don't buy, that we just immediately throw away.
Well, if you're over 40 or any age for that matter and want to try something completely different, how can we open our minds and wander into a new innovative territory? I know you offer 5 keys to unlocking our innate creativity. Could you identify those 5 keys? I thought they were fascinating.
From this blog thing. Yeah, in the book there's more than that.
I see.
And they aren't quite as tidy, but among them, really, you know, I think you already just answered your own question in the question. How do we, you know, do something new and open our minds to different avenues? Well, by doing something new and opening our minds to different avenues, right? You got to plunge. So one of the things, there's a bunch, and one of them that we talk about a lot is getting, you know, your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I like to picture the comfort zone as a chair, right?
Uh-huh.
Picture your, you know, your most comfortable chair.
Yeah.
And when you're kicked back in that chair, when you're leaning back and you're really comfortable, well, that's nice, but you're not really doing anything new. And there's something to be said for nice and comfortable, right? But there's also something to be said for being at the edge of your seat.
Oh, I see.
So when you're at the edge of your seat, sort of teetering there, I don't want you falling out of it, right? I think that if we just leave our comfort zone for the sake of leaving our comfort zone, all we're going to be is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's probably not our most effective selves.
Yeah.
What is effective is to be fully engaged. And to be doing things that we've, you know, right there at the edge where we have the confidence to believe that we can be effective, but we're just not quite sure, right?
Yeah, it's good to have that potential that we're going to fail and recognize that and then go for it, because if you're sure you're going to have no problems doing something, it's not very exciting or not very challenging. But
that
makes a lot of sense to me. But I know another key that I thought was real key is learn to recognize your prejudices. You know, there's so much of the problems in the world stems from the fact that our human brains enable prejudice to emerge, and how can we overcome this tendency to prejudge? And I'm not just talking about, prejudice against other individuals, but prejudice against new solutions or other ways of doing things. And how do we recognize our prejudices and work to overcome them? What's the best way to do that?
Well, I feel very strongly that we should hold fewer strongly held opinions.
That's a good way to start.
Because self-referential truths are self-referential, right?
Yeah.
Well, that goes back to what we were talking about experience and expertise.
Yeah.
When we get good at something, when we're an expert, we are prejudiced. We're always prejudiced. Prejudice helps us interpret the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're not going to turn it off. You're not going to turn it all the way off.
No.
But our prejudices go, you know, other than, you know, the simple vile bigotry, which we all experience to one extent or another, there's also, as you said, this idea prejudice, that we are biased against certain types of ideas. And in business, there's this acronym, not invented here, NIH.
Yeah.
And not invented here means that, you know, if it were such a great idea, I would have thought of it already. You know, if it's my competitor coming up with this solution, I'm immediately biased against it. The expertise is in me says, well, hey, in my territory, this is my providence. And therefore,
even though all your customers are leaving for your competitor.
Well, right. Exactly. You think about Sears Roebuck in 1993.
Wow.
I mean, here they are. They've got this catalog, this huge catalog of, you know, any product you can think of. They've got delivery expertise. They've got everything ready to go and become Amazon. And what did they say? We are not an internet company. Good time to sell your stuff.
Yeah.
And we see it over and over again on that scale. But individually, we have a lot more control over it.
Yeah.
And really, so let me give you a little bit of background on how to beat back this idea of prejudice.
Yeah.
So to understand this, we need to talk a little bit about how our minds work, how our brains work. And the way the neuroscientists and behaviorists and cognitive behaviorists describe it is sort of like this. You think of the base processing that our brains do just to give us a perception. Okay, we have five senses, and the data from each of those senses, sight, sound, scent, touch, taste, smell. Did I mention that already? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So all of these have to, the data that comes in through our eyes has to go through a whole lot of wetware, a whole lot of processing before it becomes anything like an image. You know, there's a lot that has to happen between having light reflected off of a leaf and recognizing it's part of a tree.
Huh.
And all of that is unconscious. Right. If we were conscious of all of that stuff,
thanks the Lord. Unconscious.
Yeah, yeah. We wouldn't get a whole lot done.
No.
We would have been eaten by saber-toothed tigers a long time ago.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of unconscious processing, and that processing, just from the senses, becomes more abstract at higher and higher levels until language. Right.
Yeah.
We are not born speaking any languages. We are not born with any words, but we are born with tremendous talent for learning languages.
Oh, yes.
But no words, right? So we come with a whole bunch of equipment all dying and ready to learn language, but we're not born with a language.
Hmm.
So there's a tremendous amount of work that our brains do that we're not aware of.
Yeah.
At the other end, what we're conscious of are just a handful of things at each moment. The evidence suggests that we are capable of holding within our working memory 3 to 7, maybe 10 different concepts at once, is hardly anything compared to what all the stuff our brains are doing. So now, so with this vision of what I like to call, I use a lot of metaphors, and the left brain speaks, the right brain laughs. It's really, you know, I use very little jargon. This book is for fun.
Yeah.
And understand things and, you know, have a few laughs and maybe figure out how we can do things more effectively. So one of the metaphors is this idea of a percolator.
Oh.
And think of a coffee percolator, right? Remember how we used to brew coffee on the stove?
Yeah.
And so these bottom-up processes that we're not aware of are like the water in the pot that we're heating.
Yeah.
And then our conscious thoughts are the water that's percolated up into the top of the pot and is then dripping down into the coffee grounds to actually brew the coffee. So there's just a few drops at any time, but there's this whole, you know, this whole pot full of boiling water. So what we need to do, finally, to get back to the question, to reduce our own idea prejudice and open ourselves up to new ideas and concepts is really pretty simple. We need to dial it back and think a little less. It's a loop of focus. When we focus in on a problem and get all the data and analyze it, it's very important. But we also have to defocus and go away and let ideas percolate up without judging them.
Yeah, why I think we have so many, as you call them, eureka moments when we're not trying, when we're out walking or we're out in the shower or someplace else and not beating our brains out trying to come up with a solution.
Exactly.
Kind of letting them percolate.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Exactly. When, you know, how many great ideas do you have while you're pounding your head up against whatever tools you use to work? I'm a writer, so I work with computers a lot. And so are my greatest ideas coming while I'm wailing away at the keyboard?
Yeah.
Well, some of them do. But, yeah, most of them happen when I'm, you know, walking around the hills or in the shower. I get a lot of great ideas in the shower. I was thinking about putting a whiteboard in there or something, you know.
I sing a lot in the shower, but nobody fortunately has to listen. But what do you mean by the, to talk a little bit about your new science book, what do you mean by the book's title, The Left Brain Speaks, The Right Brain Laughs? What exactly does that mean?
All right, so there is the, you know, we're all, okay, this is what happened. Let me give you a little bit of the behind the scenes. My original title for this book, that I was thinking of when I was writing it, was The Reality Interface.
Oh.
And the publisher didn't like it, right? And I didn't care, you know.
Yeah.
It was just the way I thought of it. If they have a better idea, just fine. And so they asked me for a list of potential titles, and
okay.
That was one of them. The Left Brain Speaks, The Right Brain Laughs was one of the candidate titles, and they really liked it. But it's... I have a little bit of a problem with it because it's not entirely accurate.
Oh, I see.
You see, what the book should be titled, and I recommend this in the first chapter, I do recommend that if you feel like it, you take a Sharpie out and you write on the cover and change it from The Left Brain Speaks, The Right Brain Laughs to The Left Brain Tells the Joke, The Right Brain Gets It, and The Left Brain Does the Actual Har 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 Laughing.
I see. So it's very important that both sides of the brain work together then, I guess you're saying.
That's the thing. You know, the old oversimplification that the left brain is your inner accountant and the right brain is your inner artist needs updating.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you're not going to be creating much without your left brain.
Oh, I see.
And your right brain.
Yeah.
And so I think it is actually a pretty good example, humor and jokes, that the left brain tells the joke. The left brain tends to focus in on the tiny details.
Oh,
but it's the right brain that notices shifts, that notices when the context isn't quite right,
yeah.
Or when the context doesn't quite fit. And that's what jokes are, right?
Oh,
a joke
yeah.
is when there's a shift in the story that is a little bit absurd, hopefully harmless. If it's harmless and absurd, it's likely to be funny.
Yeah.
And the right brain notices that. And then the left brain actually does the laughing, at least in 95% of people, and a bit less than that of left-handed people. But so that gets a little into the details, more detail-y than is helpful in understanding stuff. So it's one thing I try to avoid in this book is a lot of, you know, overwhelming scientific jargon and stuff.
Yeah, that's great. I enjoyed it thoroughly. But where best can we go to preview and purchase your book? What's the best place to go for that?
Should be available anywhere, certainly in the great big bookseller in the interwebs. Amazon will be more than happy to sell it to you. But your local bookstore should be supported.
That's good.
And if they don't have a copy, they will be happy to get you one.
Yeah.
If you don't want to outlay the cash, go to your library, and if they don't have it,
unique idea.
if they don't have it, just ask them for it. They'll get it. Libraries will get books for you.
Yeah. Well, where do we? Do you have a web address where we can learn more about you and your background, your public speaking, and we could preview also your two novels on that website?
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. I'm all for that. So my website is ransomstevens.com, and ransom is RANSOM, as in kidnapping note, and Stevens is STEPHENS, so ransomstevens.com, and there's far more about me there than you ever wanted to know or I ever really wanted to share, but, you know, once you get started on these things, they just get bigger.
Well, in conclusion, unfortunately, so many of us at middle age are stuck on neutral in a place we really don't want to be. We don't like where we are in our careers, relationships, or finances, but we can't seem to come up with any creative ideas on how to try something different or improve things. And sadly, we're not only holding ourselves back, as witnessed by the just-concluded election cycle, so many of us are so certain that our beliefs and ways of solving problems or challenges are the only ways. And the sad result is gridlock, isolation, racial and ethnic discrimination, even hatred and violence. And my guest, Ransom Stevens, doesn't promise that he has all the answers, but having read his book, The Left Brain Speaks, The Right Brain Laughs, I honestly say I'm beginning to better understand why I so often am stuck in my beliefs and ways of doing things, and the next time I absolutely refuse without even listening to consider a new idea or someone else's opinion, I'll think about those little ruts carved in my brain from years of flow of one-way thinking that tend to channel my thinking always in the same direction, and I'll begin to explore ways to listen to others and think about, maybe even propose solutions that I hadn't previously considered. And as Ransom states in his book, creativity happens when you reach into your hat and pull out a rabbit, but before you can get a rabbit, you have to pull out a lot of lint. Try stuff. When it doesn't work, try something else. I also liked when you said, by silencing our tendency to anticipate and predict what comes next, we can push back prejudices, dice up categories, and open ourselves to new patterns. And I humbly have to say that all makes sense to me. And the holiday gift season approaches, and Ransom's book, The Left Brain Speaks, The Right Brain Laughs, might be a perfect gift for folks, including yourself, who want to know what's going on inside their head and how to use that knowledge to make themselves the best humans they can be. And what better purpose in life is there than that? And thanks a million, Ransom Stevens, for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate your kind words.
We are about to enter the Christmas, Hanukkah, or New Year's holiday season, the time of the year for the family, isn't it? Celebrating the blessings of the present, highlights of the past year, and taking a pause and looking forward to next year. And whether you plan to be part of a large extended family gathering, people you probably only see once or twice a year, grandparents, uncles, aunts, nephews, in-laws, nieces, or maybe you're going to have a small Christmas this year, just you, your spouse, and the kids. Maybe the extended family are too far away. But as we all know, coming together as a family, whether it be just a nuclear family or an extended family, doesn't always produce joy and goodwill. Also, often produces a lot of tension and can produce disagreements, family squabbles, and hurts that last throughout the coming year. You know, when you think about it, when it all comes right down to it, the most important ingredient to a joyful and happy holiday season is how well you get along with your spouse or your significant other. Are the two of you truly a team as you prepare for the holiday season? You know, if the two of you are happy, loving, content, and on the same page and demonstrate that clearly to the kids and to other family members, they'll tend to have a great holiday as well. But if the two of you are constantly squawking or obviously have tension with each other, it's not going to be that good for the children or for anyone else. So if the two of you are united, your holiday won't be ruined by that thoughtless uncle who always makes some rude, unintentional remark, or that abusive brother-in-law that always gets your goat, or by offspring who pout because they didn't receive precisely what they asked for from Santa Claus. So here's a suggestion. Before the holidays arrive, it might be a good time for a special relationship checkup, and maybe while you're at the service station to refill that tank. Believe me, it is possible to restore joy and positive emotions to a slumping midlife marriage. You may have been hitched for many years, but I trust you still love and honor your spouse as true life partner. It's a pretty sorry state if you don't. Does your spouse know that, or do you tend to take advantage of him or her? As a couple, do you go out on occasional romantic dates, absent the usual distractions of offspring and close friends? Are they fun and rewarding when just you two are together? Better yet, how about a weekend retreat for two? It could be the first couple of weeks of December. those weekends or maybe early next year after the holidays. I know it's tough to get away, but isn't there someone reliable you can count on to watch the kids for a couple days? Now ask yourself something in all honesty. Do I generally respect my spouse's career, parenting, and lifestyle goals? Are they on an equal parity with my own goals? And am I helping to make them come true? Do you take the time out to honor your spouse as an undivided center of your attention? I know that's always a problem with me. I always have 1,000 things to do and don't often give my spouse the attention she deserves. At least once this past month, did you gift your mate with his or her very own special day where she was and her desire or his desire was at the full center of your attention? And let me ask you, how did that work out? I bet it worked out just fine, didn't it? Did the two of you lovingly discuss a positive family action plan, both for the holidays and for next year? Can you agree upon worthy individual and family goals? Let's bury once and for all the notion that those of us in our 40s, 50s, and even 60s cannot restore joy, intimacy, passion, and adventure to our marriages. As a couple, your golden years are yet to come. And bottom line, let's make this holidays a time when you recharge your positive emotions, count your blessings, and get ready for next season or for next year and a positive outlook on the year to come. That's what the holidays are all about. Restore that glow and that warm feeling of love and cooperation that will last throughout the coming year. And I know you need to buy presents, send out Christmas cards or Hanukkah cards, whatever, New Year's cards, set up the tree or the candelabra, rush, rush, rush. But for God's sake, and for your own, take time out to reflect upon what this season is all about, all the blessings that you have, and how much you love and need your spouse around, what it means to you, how much your partner means to you also, and demonstrate that warmth. Don't just believe it. Love and warmth for your fellow man, that's what Christmas and woman, of course, that's what Christmas is all about, and that's what Hanukkah is all about, and really that's what New Year's is about too, looking forward to a warm next year, but especially for that one special person in your life, your spouse or significant other. And we're here for you. Our goal is renewal at midlife of all aspects of your life, career, marriage, parenting, your outlook on the future, just your general feeling when you wake up in the morning. Is it positive or is it negative? And we'll continue our discussion next week of how to have a wonderful and joyful holiday season. And in the interim, before we come back next week on the program, please visit our website, middleagerenewal.com. That's middleagerenewal.com for you spelling challenged folks. And while you're there, you can obtain a free gift for the holiday season, indeed for any season, my MART or Middle Age Renewal Training mini course on the road to renewal at middle life. And we'll talk to you again next week from Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.